Good morning. 4 minutes past nine. First up, should your children have gender-neutral uniforms? An LGBT charity, Educate and Celebrate, claims at least 120 schools across the UK now have that very policy in place. This comes as another school considers the move, which would allow boys to wear skirts. Highgate School consulted parents on whether to allow gender-neutral uniforms, boys and girls, to choose between skirts and trousers, and other measures like unisex toilets and addressing all students as pupils rather than girls and boys. So girls and boys banned, pupils used instead. What do you think? 0 30 30 80 55 55. The journalist and family campaigner Lynette Burrows is with us today. Lynette, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. The journalist Fionnuala Meredith. Fionnuala, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning. What's the problem with making it open to all, taking away any restrictions, Lynette? If a boy wants to wear a skirt, let him fill his boots.
Well, it's somehow terribly fitting for the age that we live in, which is full of mad things, it's true. But, you know, it is a delusion. A boy is... that there are such things as men and women, boys and girls, male and female. And I understand that there are some people that entertain doubts about it, but that's their business. And I
Well, precisely that's their business.
No, everybody else.
Precisely. That's their business. So if they want to wear a skirt, why can't they?
Well, because it's not everybody else's business. I mean, I suppose you could have them walking around school dressed as a girl. I mean, it's also silly. It even makes you feel silly talking about it, actually. But I realise that for them it's very serious. But, you know, actually, I don't think it's very healthy to make everybody suffer from what other people's delusions
are. Well, why do other people suffer?
Well, it will make a lot of children a bit anxious about whether they're odd as well, whether they are what they seem to be. It just is a very mad thing to do, don't you think, Stephen, honestly?
Fionnuala?
I think it's a shame to be so dismissive of the issue. I mean, sure, it's a complicated one, but the basic idea of gender-neutral uniforms, I don't have a bother with. I think most people wouldn't. A lot of these schools have just been getting on and quietly implementing this policy anyway without any kind of media fanfare or row. And let's face it, the amount of boys who are actually going to be going to schools and wearing skirts is vanishingly small. The numbers of children who are affected by gender identity issues is growing, yes, but it's still tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the number of students and pupils there are in schools. I certainly don't think we should be banning the phrases boys and girls in favour of pupils. It really always worries me whether there's any kind of policing of language like that. Yeah. What's wrong with having a gender neutral uniform where girls, and I think this is a much wider issue and it would apply to many more pupils, if girls could wear trousers, why can't girls wear trousers? There's not a bother with that. So I think from that point of view, girls wearing trousers is going to affect many, many more young people than this issue of boys wearing skirts.
Well, I would agree with that it doesn't really very much matter whether girls wear trousers, except that they have come to the conclusion that having a school uniform is good for nurturing a sort of esprit de corps. I mean, you might as well say, you know, introduce a thing that if you want to go dressed as a ballerina, you can, with a frilly tutu.
That's a real exaggeration. These uniforms are still in place. There's still a limited number of things that the kids can wear. It's still a uniform. It's not just anything goes and you can wear whatever you like to school.
No.
Children can choose from a very limited set of clothes that they will be wearing as part of this uniform. So I think just to sort of dismiss it all and say, oh, it's like wearing frilly tutus isn't really that helpful or insightful.
Well, no, I'm not really claiming to be helpful about it. I think it's a desire to sort of spread all sorts of mental delusions amongst children. I think we should leave them alone. What's wrong with just leaving them alone?
Why is gender-neutral uniforms a desire to spread mental delusions?
Because seeing boys go round in skirts and girls flouting the rules of schools, as mostly it has always been, and is pretty well accepted. These poor people that think that they are in the wrong body, it's unfortunate. They have 10 times the suicide rate of anybody else. There's obviously more wrong than write about it, as you might say, except on an absolutely personal level. And I don't think you should be introducing that concept into schools.
But the number of boys who would actually be going to schools in skirts is so very tiny. And yes, there are some other issues that you would have concerns about with that. Like, is that going to open them up to bullying to a greater extent? Is it going to sort of identify them in a certain way? That would be a concern for sure. But why not try and take a compassionate approach to this and think, well, is this going to help a small number of children? And if so, why not? Why not just do it?
Here's Norman. Morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning.
I don't know what this one is coming to. Boys going to school in skirts, the next thing they'll be doing is be wearing lipstick and earrings.
Well, because they feel they're in the wrong body, Norman.
They're not in the wrong... You're born a man or a woman, and no matter how much you alter your body, the genes in your body still remains the same. Now, a year or so ago...
What about opening up your mind to an alternative thought process?
How can a child that's 5 years of age know what he wants to be when he grows up? He doesn't. He'll tell you he wants to be a doctor or a train driver. It's the same with gender. A child doesn't know its own mind at 5 years of age. Yet we're telling children at 5 years of age, it's all right to be a girl if you want to be a girl tomorrow. Now, there's a clinic in England, and a couple of years ago, there's only one child who visited that clinic who wanted to change his gender.
How does it affect you or anybody else if a young person decides that they want to wear particular clothes? Why does it annoy you?
This is people living in sin. This is what it is. It's driving people. It's sin that drives people.
Sin.
If they're taught Christian values, you come into this world, you come in as a man or a woman, and there are matter much you change your body, taking your parts away and making it into a woman's parts. At the end of the day, your genes and your body still remains the same. You're still a man or a woman.
This school that we've talked about, Highgate, it's a secondary school. So you're talking about people at, what, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age? They know who they are.
This is what we're brainwashing children at 5 years of age.
No, this is 14 and 15.
No, but we're brainwashing them at 5 years of age, telling them, you know, it's all right to be gay, it's all right to change your gender. And kids are coming in from school and saying to their parents, you know what, Mum, I want to be a girl. Is that normal? No, it's not normal.
Fadula?
Not normal for any child at 5 years of age.
We do a lot of telling people in Northern Ireland what's normal, don't we, and what's abnormal.
We certainly do. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at that, quite frankly. I mean, honestly.
Well, you see,
hold on a minute, Norman. We've heard a lot from you. Could I speak, please? We have heard a lot. A lot of stuff that I find is deeply questionable, not least the fact that you think it's a sin for a boy to wear a skirt. Honestly, this is farcical. Let's just get back to reality here. Hang on. The numbers of boys who are actually going to be wearing skirts is so very, very, very tiny. The categories of male and female are not going to crumble because a small, tiny, tiny number of children happen to wear skirts or trousers that aren't in keeping with these ideas we have about their gender. Let's just have a little compassion here. I often find that people who have these fundamentalist Christian views, sometimes, not always, but sometimes seem to be very lacking in Christian compassion.
This is not about Christian views. This is an article I read the other day from professors.
You were talking about sin.
Professors in America, professors in Britain, they said there is no proof anywhere that people have gender problems. It's all in the genes. No matter how much you break it down, they have never found anyone with gay genes.
The reason we're doing this today is because more schools are opting for non-gendered uniforms, and some kids can go in, for example, boys can in wearing skirts. 120 schools throughout the UK are now embracing this policy.
Well, there's
Brian
a
in Anderson's Town. Morning, Brian.
William, do the people here...
I'll William ye.
Sorry. I made him hasty as we had holidays. I forgot about that. Sorry, Stephen. No, what I'm going to say is, does people not realise the minds of these children and what they would probably have to go through walking to school, getting transport to school, wearing a skirt, even in school, the problems they will have with other children. You know, do people not think that? I mean,
therefore, do you support that young person who decides, despite all of that, that's what they want to do, that's who they are?
I would definitely support them, Stephen. But, I mean, what is this? Is there any kids going to school wearing skirts? I like to ask that question. I mean, if a teenager wants to do it, I have no problem with it at all. No problem. You know, I would, and in fact, if my own son wanted to do it, I would probably try and discourage him, but I would back him up the whole way. But, is there any children going to school wearing skirts? I mean, the so-called experts there.
Why would you discourage him?
Well, can I come in? Knowing what he would probably go through, being ridiculed.
Lynette.
By other children, because children can't be cruel.
Lynette.
Yes. I was going to say, I think actually it's a sort of, like very often these things are, you ask who benefits from this. I think there's a whole lot of people. I mean, just think of it, as you said, the bullying. I mean, it opens up new vistas of interference and job opportunities for psychologists and school counselling services. There's money to be made for it, certainly at the teenage end where they're giving them drugs, which will alter their bodies permanently, which I think is really a sinister move. Very, very sinister.
I still like to ask the question.
Well, sinister, that's a very loaded term.
What?
It could be a loving gesture to say to someone, right, you're permanently going to now be who you want to be.
Yes, but when they're young, I mean, all the people who have dealt for all their lives with this kind of thing, which has been very, very minimal, very, very small. I mean, you'll remember, Stephen, it wasn't that long ago, perhaps 30 years, when we had a thing called multiple personality disorder, where thousands of people claimed to be a different person at 9 o'clock in the morning from what they were at 7 o'clock in the evening. And they spoke in a different voice, they wouldn't go to work, doing the same job, all that sort of thing. These are sort of mental delusions that people fall into. And there's a whole lobby of childcare professionals who, you know, very, very happy about this. Gives them loads of work. They're probably running out of all sorts of other things to do. It makes a lot of money for a certain profession.
It's very cynical.
And, they like it.
Very cynical view, Fionnuala.
Yeah, that's the exact word I was just thinking. It is deeply cynical. Can we just get back to the issue? No, but can we just get back to the issue at hand here? I think we're all agreed this is a really small number of children that we're talking about. Although the numbers are going up, it's still very small. And of that cohort, there's going to be an even tinier number of boys who are actually wearing the flipping skirts to school. So why get in this moral panic about it? Because that's what this is. It is a moral panic. Yes. It hasn't got a lot to do with rationality or thinking things through reasonably.
Loads of calls this morning. Bertie and Lisburn. Morning, Bertie.
Right.
Stephen.
Morning.
Stephen, I was just thinking you would look well going into the BBC with a skirt on. That's if you could get one to fit. And not only do the skirt, but you'd wear a blouse and your fishnet tights and all. So you'd look really well, and it would really improve your image and get you more and more publicity. You're a very popular man as it is, so I think you would look well dressed in one of these outfits.
are you having a little morning fantasy, Bertie?
No, I'm telling you the truth. You sponsored this program. You wanted to go all about wearing skirts. So in the summertime, you could get a nice dress and wear it as well.
But you do understand, Bertie, that for some people, this is really, really serious.
Oh, yes.
This is their identity. This is who they are as a human being.
I know there's a lot of the youth will go for this today, neither sure as I know that, but no, I don't think that.
It's not just youth.
It was Shani with me, because I don't think at my age I would look well in a skirt. I'd look maybe bad enough dressed in trousers and a jacket, but no, I don't think it's something.
Even.
Do you believe in those people who being able to express themselves, Bertie, and be on this planet whoever they want to be?
Well, whether I believe in them or not, like it's their decision, and believe in democracy, they must have the We'll have to give them the right.
Well, there you go. It's not it exactly. It doesn't matter whether any one of us agree with it or not. It's about being open to other people and where they're coming from. There's a real motive.
Whether we dictate or not, they'll still go ahead and wear these garments.
Well, yeah, but exactly. But you're saying, yeah, they're free. They're free to make those choices.
Yes,
or, well, in the case of children, in conjunction with their parents. I was just thinking there how a parent of a child who's experienced gender identity issues must be feeling listening to some of this.
Yeah.
I think I really feel for the parents, because I think it must be incredibly challenging. It's not something just to be dismissed or laughed at, you know?
Alex in Lisbon. Morning, Alex.
Hold on,
Bernie. Morning, Alex. Go ahead.
Morning.
Alex.
No, I think of people who wear uniforms nowadays. I mean, really, police officers, paramedics, nurses, they're all pretty gender neutral. In fact, most of the females wear trousers rather than men wearing around about in the skirts. So maybe it's time the schools.
To come back to the subject, do you support this policy which is in place across 120 schools in the UK, which says to children, look, gender neutral, if you want to wear a skirt and you're male, work away?
I think it's probably better than saying you're not allowed to. But I would suggest that schools probably need to go to a gender-neutral uniform. One of the problems when my kids were at school was the girls rolled up the skirts and more too much leg and not enough skirt on display. And to an extent, a trouser would get round that. Then you have other schools that have the big long skirts hanging around, you know, down below the knee to avoid that issue. So I'd have thought maybe it's time schools actually went for a gender-neutral uniform, because that's what paramedics were, that's what nurses were, more or less.
Where
from the word gender-neutral uniforms. And schools must be one of the few places now where a uniform is defined as trousers for the boys and skirts for the girls.
Robert, next morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, you've done a programme the other week there about a wee boy that wasn't allowed into school because of his hair.
Yes. I wonder what happened to that kid.
You
do you remember that?
There.
His haircut wasn't to the school's liking, so they put him in detention and refused to... I wonder whatever happened.
All right, well, I had notes home from school as well about footwear. Not appropriate. Earrings not allowed to be in during school. Only in the summertime you allowed your kids to wear earrings.
Once had an earring.
So what's the difference, Stephen? If they're allowed to wear skirts, why don't they just do away with uniforms all they are?
Yeah.
And what did you say as a parent when they objected to your child's footwear?
It's the school rules. That's what you're told. School rules.
And Bartley and Doug Patrick. Morning, Bartley.
How are you doing, Stephen?
I remember that wee clip-on. I had a wee clip-on earring I used to wear. And a gold ring. I remember it well. Should maybe bring
Stephen,
that style back.
We're talking there about the schools, the kids going to school. 30 years ago, kids went to school, were picked on for being this. Now, if kids go to school, this gender equality and all the different things, sure, it has to be good. It has to be good for kids. It has to be. If a kid isn't comfortable in what they're wearing, surely we shouldn't be forcing them to wear something they're not comfortable in.
Lynette?
No, I don't really think that. I mean, setting aside all these other things, really the reason that you want kids to conform is because you want to get them to conform to the normal things of their society. And actually, uniform isn't terribly important.
Yes, I accept what you're saying, but sometimes the norm for some people is not the norm for others. And that's why I heard somebody say about statistics about high suicide rates and stuff. Maybe we're forcing kids down the roads where they're putting so much pressure on them and so much stuff that, you know, that's why the high suicide rates, that's where we're going. Maybe our norm isn't somebody else's norm. And Norman up in Bangor, maybe if a Norman gets to the end of life and like everybody else does, and there's no God there, then you've led your life all, maybe you've led a good life. No, not saying that there. But what if there is no God? What if he's wrong, and what if everybody else is wrong?
But actually, what you're talking about is what they call Pascal's wager. Say you've gone through all your life believing in God, and when you die, he's not there. Well, no harm done. Nobody even knows about it. But say you've gone through all your life not believing in God, and when you die, he is there. Then you're in trouble. And that's why Pascal said it's always better to have a faith.
But that's a choice you have made in life. Like, these kids are making their choice. Big, 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 massive decisions they have to make. And massive decisions. But I'm glad that it's not 30 years ago when I was in school. When I genuinely put my heart and said, I made a pick on a child because of gay. We made stupid, silly remarks. And you know what? We were the stupid. We were the people at the faults. We were the ones that weren't normal because we were abnormal. We were picking on kids because we were bullies. We were sick, stupid bullies regretfully, I can stand saying now, if I look back, some of the things I may have said to the kids that were gay, I deeply regret it. I think that the gay community should be applauded, be welcomed, and I think it's fantastic. I work with
there's a whole other program in itself. I just wonder for those kids who did the bullying, I just wonder what they would do, how they would feel if they heard the impact of that bullying on that individual all these years later. Because I've done programs where people maybe in their mid-20s, early 30s, recount how being bullied because of their sexuality in school, they remember to this day, and it hurt them.
Stephen, weird things. We call some of the gay, when I was young, you called people queer. I heard someone use it at the Gay Pride one year, and I asked a girl, an American girl, I said, why use this very derogatory? She said, no, that's okay. That's acceptable. We're calling people queer over in America. But that's where the norm comes in. What is norm? My normal and somebody else's normal is not, you know, what is the norm? What is that word, the norm?
Well, it's what society is struggling to define, Lynette Burrows, isn't it? That one word, normal. It causes so much aggro, causes so much discontent in society for different people trying to define it in different ways. What is normal anymore?
Well, you know what's normal, Stephen? See, when you go out and you meet people that I've met from right across the community, right across the world, when you meet people and people go happy and we don't do wrong to each other, we don't hurt each other and we accept each other and we embrace each other. And you know what, that's right. What's normal, I don't care. It's what's right, important, not what's norm. I think what's right is right, and not what's wrong. I don't think we should be putting people down. I think we should open our arms, embracing people, and we should learn more. I've learned an awful lot in 20 years through the gay community, an awful lot. And I can put my hand on heart and say, I have some of the best friends of my life in the gay, within the gay community. And it's absolutely, when I look back at me when I was a child, some of the stupid things I said to some people, I've been so sad that I had such a problem. Until I come, and all my workforce, when we go there and we work, we have a great time, and we have some of the best people out there, and it really hurts me when I hear people like Norman, who I accept his views, but I feel so sad that he has them views, because you know what?
It's not just people like Norman, it's Lynette Burrows as well, isn't it?
Yes, but look,
if you want to go out and embrace people, go out and listen to people, and go out and listen to some of them.
Well, let's let Lynette reply.
Well, I suppose actually getting some sort of, I mean, having a society where people more or less know what other people are going to do and say and think, we depend upon that, actually. We depend upon people being kind and thoughtful and that sort of thing. And you do have to reassert some sort of boundaries on what, I mean, for example, you're talking as if there's no implications from this. Would you mind if a child went to school because he profoundly believed in it, dressed in a Nazi uniform? No, you didn't.
But why are you in it?
Hold on, Lynette. Lynette, you're drawing a comparison. You're drawing a comparison between female clothing and those people who have transgendered to a Nazi uniform, Lynette. You need to think carefully, very carefully.
No,
hold on. No, she needs to be able to reply to this.
I'm not drawing any comparison. I'm just saying that the way people carry themselves and what they show that they are through what they wear and things of this sort does matter. It matters in things like uniforms that they wear, which indicate a different mindset, and that can be very unsettling for other people. And we wouldn't like it, actually, real freedom. I mean, even the freedom to say your opinion today is enough to get the skies falling in on you. People have lost their jobs for expressing a sincere opinion. We're not getting more tolerant. We're getting much, much more intolerant. And it's a very dangerous thing to introduce yet another layer upon which people can be intolerant to one another.
Finola?
Well, goodness, we've got Nazi uniforms being invoked now here just because a few kids have an issue with gender identity. Wow. I mean, that's
a principle. But you can surely see about a principle.
Well, what is the
we're not free to express exactly what we want to do.
I am always, always for free speech, and I write about it and I talk about it all the time. But I do that on the principle of live and let live. You know, I was just listening to some of the callers there and what they were saying. And, you know, that's what it's about, isn't it? That's what your previous caller was talking about. It's saying, right, I might not have understood this in the past. Maybe I understand it a bit better now. But even if I don't understand it, it's about realizing that other people come from a different perspective, that these youngsters are going through something that I don't think any of us, you know, in this discussion have gone through personally ourselves. So we don't know. It's extremely difficult for the children, extremely difficult for the parents. You know, surely we should be trying to come from a position of compassion and trying to understand
Jimmy's
it
been
rather
a while.
Than just dismissing it.
Jimmy, is this Jimmy Bryson in Belfast? Jimmy, good morning.
No, that's not Jimmy Bryson.
Oh, you're not Jimmy Bryson.
No, not at all. No, I was just phoning Stephen. Tell you the truth, I can't really believe him listening to this here. I mean, from what I can see, there are actual real gender issues that go on in schools, and the talk about uniform is, you know, just something that's completely daft and off the wall. Like, one of the things that would strike me is how females perform better than males in exam-based assessments, and no one's talking about that. Or how males perform better than females in sports-based assessments, and no one's talking about that. And yet here we are talking about, you know, like school uniforms and stuff. It seems to me that everyone's a bit out of touch. And really, I don't think people in Northern Ireland really care about, you know, what their children wear to school. Like, you know, people, you know, realistically, everyone's going to send their kids to school in their normal uniforms. And all this here to me just seems like it's all being whipped up for no real reason.
I think you would care. I think you would care well enough if it was your child. I think you would care a great deal, and you'd be doing your best to try to help them.
I think that whenever it comes down to it, this isn't really going to be an issue. It's an issue because people are making it an issue. Why aren't we making it an issue about why, you know, why females perform better than males in exam-based studies? So, you know, the other point that males perform better than females in sports-based studies.
Jimmy, thank you. Marion Lurgan. We've got to go to the news very soon, but Marion Lurgan. Morning, Mary.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, what a show in the morning. Stephen, listen, I just wanted to say that you want to know what normal is. Well,
Norman's still sitting. No. He's sitting listening. Say good morning to him.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. All I want to say is, right, and I've been on your show a lot of times, Stephen. Normal to me is living in the real world and accepting what your child is or what it's going to be or the way God sent them into your life. It's what I have a son this year, which I am damn proud of, and I would die for today if I had to.
So what's your message to Norman?
What would Norman say to his son or daughter or grandson if they choose to be or God sent them the way they are? Because I can tell you, I was told many years ago, and it's 30 years coming this weekend, that if it was hard for me to accept my child being born the way he was, it was 10 times harder for him. So I accept that, Stephen. And I accepted that his life is harder than yours or mine. But I'd go along with it, and I am proud of him. And I would be there for any mother.
Are you listening to this, Norman?
That come to me and said their son wanted to be a boy or a girl or whatever the case may be.
Are you learning from this, Norman?
If I raised two children, right? I sent them to church and Sunday school. If my son or my daughter had to come in and said, "Dad, I feel I'm going to be gay," I would open the Bible and show them a book that was written 400 years ago saying that today's society where men would dress as women and women would dress as men. And I would say to my son, "I have to accept what you're saying to me. It's wrong. I don't agree with it. But I would give them all the help and counselling that I
And when you say that you would quote a book from 400 years ago,
this
Norman,
is what the Bible says.
Is that the strength or the weakness of the Bible?
This is the strength of the Bible. This proves the Bible is true.
Mary?
Everything you read in the Bible today...
Well, I believe in the Bible too. I believe in God as well. I have great faith, Stephen. Thank God for that much. Or I wouldn't be where I am today. And I've spoke to you a whole lot of times about different issues. I was hit by the troubles in Northern Ireland. There's not another thing that God can send to me. I'll go along with it. As I say, my son's happy the way he is.
I'm slightly confused by the 400 years ago, if we're in 2017, by the way.
For Norman to say
Stephen, if you read the Bible,
The Bible has predicted what this world will be like.
Yes, but it wasn't written 400 years ago.
Stephen, tell Norman I said when he comes off air, go on to the Bible, say a prayer for all the wee children out there that are dealing with their sexuality, with being gay, how hard it is. Tell him to say a wee prayer to the Bible, close the book. Right, Stephen, God bless. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much. Here comes the news from the BBC.